Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful November 4th, 2018 day as we take a look at perfect. Ooh, that's a word that I think a lot of us get caught up in one way or another. And this idea of living faultless and having perfect conditions is something that I think, I've seen it in my work for many, many years, is a real issue. Before we begin, I want to remind you we're in our fundraising drive for year end, and it is a very important time. This is how we help fund ourselves to keep Aspire on the air. And I hope that those of you who are listening who enjoy this radio program, my TV offerings, and there are so many of them for you to enjoy, are all there to help you, to help awaken you, to help bring you to maybe a clarity about your livingness that will, not perfect you, but allow you to find that which loves you so deeply within yourself. And there is that element, that compassion, that love that lives within you. Anyway, we need your support. This does not happen by chance, luck, or by the generosity of the powers that be here. It's all about love. It's all about your appreciation for this program by helping us sustain it through your tax-deductible gift. If you become a sponsor today or you make any kind of donation, our mystery donor will match that donation and help us. And this is very, very important to what we do here at Aspire. It allows me not only to help with radio here and our TV programs, but it also allows me to go to hospice and do all of the local work that I do to help people. So please be kind, be generous, be compassionate, make a gift, or at least become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org. And you will see year-end donations. Click on it. Give you all the information you wanted to know, all the things about where your donations go and what they mean. Let's look at the word perfect for a moment. Having all the required, desired elements or qualities or characteristics as good as it can possibly be. These are definitions of perfect. Free from any flaw or defect in condition or quality. Precisely accurate. Highly suitable for someone or something. These are the definitions. And I think a lot of us get very caught up in this definition of perfect, seeking to make everything perfect. And I don't know. Should we be looking at it from another point of view? I'm all for the idea of doing everything you can as accurately as you can, to do it with elements that are beautiful, kind, loving. But there's always a flaw in everything, no matter what we do, no matter what is going on in this world. There's always that little thing. And, let's take a look at it. Our first question comes from Ned, and he does not tell me where he lives. I do everything perfectly, yet it could be done better. This is very frustrating to me. Is anything perfect? Ned, everything is perfect just as it is. And if it seems imperfect, it is perfectly imperfect. Everything functions in this lifetime in an ebb and a flow that is extremely perfect. Yes, it is doing what it's doing. And in this world, that is a miraculous and amazing thing. Everything is functioning at the level that it can function at, in the sense of plants, trees, animals, moon, sky. The only thing that is a flaw is the human being. The human being is filled with flaws and imperfections because it relegates itself to emotionality. And when I live purely out of my emotionality, when it's all about emotion for me and nothing more and nothing less, I set into motion my inadequacies, my inability to deal with everything the way it needs to be dealt with in the form of compassion and love. I'm not here to perfect my life. I'm here to perfect. But to perfect not with the idea of dissatisfaction. To live in the perfect that lives within us all is the effort of an authentic spiritual practice. It is to remove the flaw of Gregory's mind, his intent, his pedestrian mentality, his fears, his angers. It is to let those things go and to allow for a profound sense of love to reach him. And in this love, there is that which allows for kindness and compassion to enter into our life. In this kindness, in this compassion, in this love that lives within, we have the ability to perfect not the persona and the personality, but to perfect the path to love. And that's the thing that is most important. Not to allow, in my case, I'll just keep it in my ballpark, Ned, not to allow the Gregory Penn conditions of his genetics and DNA to overwhelm him with the idea of what he should be or what he shouldn't be, but just to allow the state of love as love itself to have its way with me. This means I do not make things ugly. This means I no longer engage in the pettiness of Greg and his emotionality. I no longer live in what could be his guilt and his shame. But rather, I live in that beautiful genre of kindness, of compassion, having a faith in love that is beyond the ideals of what I think love might be. The word tolerance needs to come up here. In no way, when you look at the definition of perfect, do you see the word tolerance. And tolerance, I think, is the single most important thing a human being can learn to adopt. In fact, learn to live by when they're entering into an authentic spiritual practice. I must be tolerant. Tolerant of myself, tolerant of my mistakes, tolerant of my past. I work with a lot of people. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people over the years of my career. It started way back in 1973 to this very day. And I've often looked back and wondered, you know, what happened to this person and this person? Why did this person go here and that person not go there and all of that? And it all has to do with DNA, genetics, and tolerance. When they were younger, they did not have the tolerance for an authentic spiritual practice. It just wasn't in the cards for them. They didn't want that tolerance. They were more interested in getting what they wanted. It seems that most people are only interested in the gold. Do you remember the old Zen story? I hope you do. Ned, I'm going to share a story with you. It's about a little monk who was sent to the village, the little village that they had to beg for money so they could have food. And while he was there, he saw a little bag of gold that was sitting by a table where a merchant was doing business, and he snatched the gold. He snatched the little gold pouch. Of course, they caught him right away, and they put him in the jail. They called the Zen master to come and get him, and he did. And as they were walking back to the Zendo, the master said, "Why did you do that?" And the little monk said, "I only could see the gold." He couldn't see the consequences. He could only see the gold. That's the way we are. We only see the things we want. We only see the gold. And oftentimes we have these perfect little plans, so we think, that are going to make our lives better. We only see the gold. And then we get the gold, we snatch it, or we get whatever we're after. And all of a sudden, everything changes. It isn't what we thought it would be. We have no tolerance for ourselves. We keep wondering, why didn't this turn out well? Why do I still feel the way I do? I have many students, Ned, who lived very, quote unquote, rewarding lives. Lives where they made a lot of money and they traveled and they did all the things they wanted to do. And still, now in their 70s, they look at their life and go, well, what was this all about? What was I really doing? You know, I'm still unfulfilled. I still want what I want, but I don't know what it is I want. They did everything they will tell you perfectly and had a perfectly good time, but somehow they didn't have very much within themselves. A lot of times the things we want undermine the perfection that lives within us. So, Ned, all I can say is do everything to the best of your ability. Be tolerant. Be compassionate. Perfect your mind by no longer living in the gross thoughts of right and wrong, good and bad. Seek the way of the heart. And if you do, much will happen, because it's only in the way of the heart that you find the meaning of your life. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question. This is from Tracy. She does not say where she lives. I do my best, but it is never enough. I feel inferior. Are there people who are inferior, Tracy? Tracy, I don't know you. I couldn't lend you an assessment of yourself in this way. Just couldn't do it. It wouldn't be kosher here. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that what lives within you is more than enough to help you on with your life. I don't know what it is that you're trying. I don't know what it is that you're actually doing. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that being a perfectionist won't help you. And maybe you're doing things that you're not meant to do. You're meant to do other things. I don't know what they would be that would be more advantageous to the purposes of your spiritual attainment. Most people do not seek a spiritual attainment at all. They seek only what they desire, only what they want, only what they believe in. That is all they have. But if you're going to live your life in accordance with the way of the light that lives within you, the tone of love within you, then you're going to have to realize that maybe, quite possibly, you're doing things without a mind that is mindful. Mindfulness is a very interesting quality. It can take you into so many beautiful directions in the course of your lifetime. It can take you into great love. It can take you into great insight. It can actually take you into tremendous precision in anything that you do if you are mindful. And what does it mean to be mindful? It means to be meditative, where a mind is not being pushed and shoved around by emotionality, by ideals and beliefs and theories in the mind that it has come to believe in and accept that make it think that it should be this or shouldn't be that. it's nati-nati, neither this and neither that. And once you understand this, once you are deeply and profoundly aware of this mindfulness within you, then you will have the patience to do anything and everything. Taking your mind off of the idea of the obsession of our emotionality and the things that we want and the fears that we have bring us to a deep and profound place of openness. Let me give you a little mindfulness thing here too, one other one that might help you. Never come to a conclusion about anyone or anything. Never. Never come to the conclusion of what it means to have a sense of, well, this is final within me. I just can't do this. Or I just believe that this is impossible in my life. You don't know and I don't know what is possible or impossible in your life. None of us know. We'd like to believe we do, but actually we don't. Do your very best, as you say here in your little email. Do your very best. And then ask yourself, what was the quality of my best? Was I doing it for the sake of getting something I wanted? Was I doing it because I believed in what I was doing was very important? Did I do my very best so other people would think me a better person? I have students who believe in this better best thing. And though they will say to me, you know, I was taught to do my very best and it's driven me crazy all my life, they still do it because they believe that if they do their very best, they will get accolades. They will have people actually like them, love them, adore them, whatever. And all of that is just ridiculous. To live in that manner, in that way, only causes us to live in immaturity. Then everything I do to get your approval, your liking of me, your whatever of me. And if I do that, if I live in that manner, I will miss my entire life. Everything will be missed because there will be no adventure. My master taught a story that I always loved, Tracy, and it was a story about the king who had a spiritual Zen master. And the master said to him, I want you to perfect this garden. Make it absolutely natural, perfect. So the Zen master said, I will be back in 3 months and I will come back and examine it. How you have done this garden will tell me the state of your practice. So the Zen master takes off for a few months, and the king has all of his gardeners there. He doesn't lift a finger, and he goes around and shows them what he wants done, and he perfects his garden. He comes to a place where, you know, it was the roses being trimmed perfectly, the grass being trimmed perfectly, the rocks and everything polished. So when the Zen master comes back, he looks at the garden and he shakes his head. I mean, the garden was absolutely pristine, perfect. Yet the master is shaking his head, no. He said, you failed. And the king was absolutely shocked. He said, how can you say this? Everything is perfect. The master went to the back of the garden, found a whole big, huge bag of leaves, dead leaves, and he walked into the garden and started throwing the leaves all about the garden. It was fall. And after the leaves had all been thrown all over the garden, messing up the garden, as it were, the master looked at the garden, looked at the king, and said, this is perfect. It is true. This is perfect. It was fall. The leaves should be falling. There should be leaves on the ground. That was perfect. It's hard to accept our flaws, but our flaws are perfectly perfect, if you know what I mean. I hope that helps you, Tracy. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question is from Fred. Again, I don't know where he lives. Greg, I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. Maybe I should master something, huh? Like what? What would you suggest, Fred? Fred, I've met many people like you in the course of my lifetime, people who were extremely talented, immensely talented, a very smart, really wonderful human beings, you know, could do many, many things. It always amazes me. And that many of them will tell me the same thing. Yeah, I can do all this, but I'm too imperfect to master one. Do you need to master one? Do you? And what would it be, you ask me? It would be your mind. That's what I would say. See the course of your mind and what is going on in your mind. What is the state of your mind? What are you doing with your mind? If you're filling your mind with doubt and fear and hate, if you're filling your mind with criticisms of yourself, then what good are you doing? What have you done? What have you done with your life? What have you done with your blessed state of living? If I were you, I would master one art. Maybe the tea ceremony would be an art you could master, where you become mindful, where you drop your mind, your criticism of your mind, you drop technique, and you only live in the flow of whatever you're doing, following it beyond the idea of your mind as a critical juncture in your effort that criticizes you constantly and tells you you're not enough, you're not enough, you're not enough. I have loads of artists in my group. I do. My group is filled with artists, people who do wonderful things with art. And yet every one of them that I know is very critical of their art. Very, very critical. They're afraid. And we have these art sales at the retreats that we have where they show their art and you can make a donation and take that art with you. And I'm telling you, it's very hard on them. They do beautiful work, and yet they think of themselves as being, less than. And I find this very interesting. Master something, if you want to master something, master within yourself the art of not being critical, the art of not looking at yourself as inferior. Just do your art, whatever it is, whether it's mechanics or painting or writing or whatever is your art. Do your art, but do it with a sense of mindfulness. That means no criticism, no doubt, no fear, no anger, no hostility. Just practice your art. Let go of your mind. If you free yourself of your mind, your art will be there. If you don't free yourself of your mind and the criticisms of it that come from your genetic background, you'll miss the whole thing. And in missing the whole thing, you will miss the meaning of your art. Art is not there to be admired. It's there as the expression of the divine that lives within us all. And should you be interested in that divine that lives within you, you will have mastered something in your life, mastered your mind. And that's what's most important. I hope that helps you. I got to get out of here, Fred. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, that's the weekend. That's it. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you will come and make a donation and keep us on the air with your tax-deductible gift. Remember, our mystery donor is matching donations. That's how this thing exists, Aspire, that is. And I hope you will help us as we have helped you. Have a wonderful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.